Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell you He's always led.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Good evening, everyone. This is your sister, Pearl Corbin, and I'm so glad for the opportunity to be with you this evening on Reaching Out Radio with Evangelist Montel Field. This is your Sunday evening program. We come on every Sunday evening at 8 Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time of the year it is, will always be at 8 o'clock at night Eastern time. So we welcome you to the show. We invite you to just spend this hour with us, or however long the Lord would allow us to be together, with an hour or an hour and 15 minutes or however. We just want you to be just at rest and be in expectation for what we're going to hear from the Lord tonight. Last week, we were looking at hope in the 21st century. And we're going to just pick up on that again tonight, but we want to go over, just recap a little bit on last night, last Sunday night, in case you did not have the opportunity to be with us. What we did is we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And before I read that scripture, I just want to start by saying that in God, we always have tremendous hope. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you, in the coastal world, in your own family, in your community, in the government. In Christ Jesus, you and I always have hope. Hope means expectation. Hope means we have someone that we can trust in. And the Bible says that the arm of flesh will surely fail, but that Jesus never fails. And what does that mean? Basically, it means that I fail myself, I fail others, you fail yourself, you fail others. But there is one tonight, I guarantee you this, I promise you this, he has never failed, he will never fail. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, was God incarnate. He was fully God and yet fully man. Now he has returned to be at the Father's right hand. And the Father does not fail. The Son does not fail. The Holy Spirit does not fail. And that's just the one Godhead. God does not fail. And that is great news. In 2015, we're recording on July the 19th of this year. That is tremendous hope that in Jesus Christ, we know he is our firm foundation, and he's never going to get shaky. He's never going to change his mind. He's not like the President of the United States. He does not have to evolve because he's already God. So he's not going to evolve into something else. He stands sure and steadfast, unmovable. Hallelujah. And I'm excited because I belong to him tonight. And I hope that if you're listening to this broadcast, you also belong to him. But I have good news. Even if you don't belong to Jesus tonight, by the end of this broadcast, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Lord and that you are his child. And so we're going to recap from last Sunday night, and we're going to read again 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And it reads like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we see from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that our hope is not a dead hope. It's not a hope that is stagnant. It's a living hope. It's a vibrant hope. It's a hope that grows. Our hope is a living hope. And then the second part tells us that we have an inheritance in Christ that's incorruptible. It cannot be defiled. And thirdly, I'm so glad, I believe you are too, that we're not kept, we're not sustained by our own power. Aren't you happy about that? I am thrilled about that. We're kept not by the power of a great CEO or a great company, but it can be up today, behind the stocks today, and below tomorrow. But we're kept by no other than the power of God. And in God, there is no failure in Him. I heard an evangelist one time say, if you ever want to know, I could actually tell you who it was, but I won't say it right now. He said that God was the biggest failure that ever lived. Well, I rebuke that because God has never failed, does not fail now, and will never fail. And that's the reason why I can always be joyful. Because I am kept not by Sister Pearl's power, thank God, but I'm kept by the power of God. And I can rejoice. Even if I go through some kind of a fiery trial, I can still rejoice. Because my faith, which is far more precious than gold, gold that rises and gold that goes down depending on the stock, any particular time, but my faith in Christ is far more precious than gold. And oftentimes my faith, your faith, is tested in the fire. The word of the Lord tells us even in Isaiah that if we walk through the fire, He'll be with us. I remember the word of God to all of us in Psalm 23, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the hope is that I'm coming out. That's why. I don't have to fear any evil because I know that my God is with me. And the Bible says I walk through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when you use that word through, it means that there's another exit. I am entering, but I'm coming out. I'm just walking through. So God's not finished with me yet. I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I am coming out on the glory side. I'm coming out in victory. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There's great expectation. And I want you to know, because so many of us were downhearted and disappointed and saddened, when we see the turn that our nation has taken, when we heard the decision of the Supreme Court just June the 26th, just 3 weeks ago, this past Friday, many of us were downhearted. Many of us felt in despair and despondent. I want to just encourage you tonight. Do not feel despair. Do not feel despondent. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because Jesus has not failed us. Our government may have failed us. The Supreme Court may have failed all of humanity. But Jesus has never failed, and Jesus will never fail. Our hope is a living hope. It's a fertile hope. It's a fruitful hope. It's a productive hope. Living hope is hope that has power and produces changes in life. This is what living means. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and effective. So Christian hope is a strong confidence in God, which has power to produce changes in how we live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And secondly, our hope, as we spoke about last Sunday night, it's an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, meaning that it's imperishable. It will not rotten, it will not fade, it will not grow less in power. It's indestructible, it's imperishable. It's immortal, we can say, totally. We must remember this in the days ahead. Right now, we must remember this, and even around the corner. Why can believers in many closed nations face unimaginable tests and testing? Because they believe in their incorruptible and undefiled inheritance. I am so glad, as we mentioned last Sunday, that the inheritance that we inherit from our Heavenly Father God is nothing that can be stolen. It can't be changed. It won't fade. It won't be taken away from us if the government changes. It's a constant. It's a given. It's better. Literally, it's better than money in the bank. Because sometimes, how many of you know that sometimes a bank closes? You lose all your money. So the inheritance that we have in Christ is incorruptible, it's unfading. We can rejoice in the knowledge of that. The only thing that can harm us is a lot of times we ourselves as people can defile our own inheritance. When we live outside the framework of the covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. And so, beloved, I would encourage you to stay connected to the source. Stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because as long as you stay connected to Him, your inheritance is good. It's extremely good. The only one who can defile that is you. Not even the enemy. Only you. And then thirdly, I want to say this. Thank God Almighty. You remember when Martin Luther King Jr. was on Capitol Hill and he gave that great speech about I Have a Dream. And he said, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Well, I want to use that term. Thank God Almighty that you and I are kept by the power of Almighty God. We're kept by the dunamis. That's the word in the Greek. The dunamis, the might, the power, the force, the ability, the efficacy, the energy, hallelujah, of God Himself. Not your pastor, not your preacher, not your bishop, not your mayor, not your governor, not even your parents. God bless all of these people. But again, like I said near the beginning of the program, you know, all of us can fail you. Jesus, however, will never, ever fail you, ever. Praise God. And so that's a constant. We're kept by the power of God. When I think about Daniel in the Old Testament, how he was faced with some of the most terrific testing. I mean, to the point that the man of God was literally thrown in a dungeon with lions. That's as bad as you can get. Hungry lions, not lions that were just fed or lions that had their mouth all braced up and their teeth were all bound or knocked out. But these are regular, you know, hungry, fierce, legitimate lions. And the man of God was thrown in the lion's den. And yet, he was kept by the power of God and was able to come out of that lion's den without broken bones, without a bite, without a cut, without them even taking a munch, nothing. He came out the exact way that he went in, totally free and delivered and walking in tremendous faith in the God that we serve, in the God that he serves. That's what kept by the power of God is. I can give you another example of three young men that actually Daniel mentored, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to worship the king. And they were told that you have to do it. When you hear the particular music being played, we want you, by law, you must fall down and you must worship. And I get the very feeling, while we're not hearing that you must fall down and worship the music or worship the you know, your president or worship a particular king when you hear the music being played, but I'm telling you, man of God, woman of God, saint of God, child of God, I hear the music in my spiritual hearing being played. And you and I are going to be put to the test as to whether or not we're going to bow down to the will of man. We're going to bow down to the will of a corrupt and a heathen society. I hear the music being played. And we're going to have to make up in our minds to be exactly like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that we know that our God is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we refuse to bow down to worship any other God but the God that we know, Jehovah, Jehovah God. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, the Bible tells us that they even heated up the fiery furnace 7 times hotter than what was ordinarily the heat. And it was so hot and so intense that the men who threw them in were burned to a crisp. So you can imagine, it was unbelievable heat and unbelievable fire. And not only did they throw them in, they bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They bound their hands and their legs that they were not able to just walk. They were all tied up like we've seen in the movies, tied up. So they were there bound. And yet when the king looked in to see what was happening to them, because he really, in his heart of hearts, he didn't really want to do that, but he was kind of forced to have these men thrown in. So he looked and he said, but wait a minute. Did not we throw in 3 men? And yet I see a 4th man, and the 4th man looks like the Son of God. And the Word of God tells us that the 3 men came out. God delivered them, and they came out of the fiery furnace, walking and leaping. I believe the only thing that God allowed that fire to burn was the ropes that kept them bound. And I believe in this day, as we would put our confidence and our trust and our faith in Almighty God, we like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even when faced in the hottest of fiery trials and situations, we will be kept by the power of God because we have hope in a great God. He's an awesome God. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the great captain of the host, and he fights the battles for his children. He's a great God. The Bible tells me in Psalm, now we're going to shift from what we were recapping about last Sunday night's message, and we want to go to part 2. And I want to encourage every listener that the Word of God says in Psalm 25, verse 3, no one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. No one, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no teenager, no senior citizen. It doesn't matter your age. It does not matter your experience. It does not matter your education. It does not matter how much money you might have in a bank, or even if you don't even have any money in the bank, or you don't even have an account. The individual who places their hope in Almighty God will not be put to shame. That's the Word of God. You can bank on that, because God is not a man that he can lie. And then again, the Word of God tells us in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. If you believe in him tonight, child of God, you're not going to be disappointed. The Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, God knows the plans that he has for you. It says it exactly like this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. There goes that word, hope. To give you a future and a hope. I don't know why, but so many people are deceived into thinking that God is some kind of a hard taskmaster, always frowning and looking for an opportunity to get you, to punish you. That's not the God of the Bible. What I read from Genesis to Revelation is that God is always going out of his way to look for some way to get us out of the mess that we find ourselves in. He's always doing that. He's always done that. That's his heart. His heart is that none should perish, but that all should come to salvation. But it's you, it's me, that so many times we're the ones that are running away from the great things that God has for us. The Bible again says about hope. You know, in Psalm 39 and verse 7, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. My hope is in you." That's why I can rejoice, even and be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer, because I have hope in Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says about faith and about hope? Is faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. In other words, I have confidence and trust in God that the things that I hope for, I know God will make good on them if it's according to the will of God. If it's according to the will of God, I already know that I have what I've asked for, because the Word of God promises that. Even later in 1 Peter, but this time chapter 3, verse 15 reads like this: "But in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with a gentleness and respect." You and I have a hope. I mean, that's what keeps us going. We have confidence in God. I remember I was speaking to some young adults yesterday, and we went out of state to have a little getaway, to have a little retreat. We went two states away. I'm talking to you tonight from the state of New York, but we went through New Jersey and went to Pennsylvania. So we had our little retreat in Pennsylvania. And one of the things that I was telling them is that as a believer in Christ, we have to be people that are true to our words. We're called believers because we believe God. And we believe God because we trust God. We trust God because we have hope in God. I cannot call myself a believer if I don't have any hope in God. Now, in this 21st century that I'm living in, I want you to know that my eyes are not focused on just merely what I can see around me. If you're anything like me, you watch the news for too long and you get discouraged. But I'll tell you one thing, my hope and my confidence is not what I watch on CNN, MSN, NBC, Fox News, ABC, or whatever local channel you're watching. My hope and confidence, thank God, is not based on the news that I watch from a carnal program, whether it be on the radio or on the television or even on the internet. My hope is not founded in that. And I've got news for you. The entire nation, almost everybody in the nation, was so excited about 6 years ago, and we kept hearing that mantra, change. Well, we certainly have gotten a lot of change. That's a fact. But my question is, and how's that change working for you? We got a lot of change. No doubt about that. But I'll tell you what. 6 years ago, my hope was not based on the coming in administration. My hope was not lost because the other administration left. And I've got news for you. When and if, because I have to say, and if we have an election in November 2016, in America, because that's where I'm broadcasting from, my hope will not be in that government, whether it be Republican or Democrat, liberal or independent, or, you know, conservative. My hope is not based on a political party. My hope will not be based on an individual man or woman. My hope will not be based on the, you know, the governor that would be over my state, or the mayor that's in my city, or if you're in another nation, or the prime minister of your country, or the premier of your nation, or the king or the queen if you're in Great Britain. I pray to God that your hope is not based on the on human flesh. Because if it is, I can say, woe is it to you. Our hope is in one person, and his name is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 records it like this. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. So in other words, when I go to my secret place of prayer with God, that's where my hope is released, because I'm trusting in one who will never fail me. Amen. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For in this hope we are saved. Hallelujah. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If I see something, I don't have to hope about that. And then the Bible continues to say, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Amen. So you and I are going to have our hope tested, our faith tested. This is a great time. This is one of the most exciting times to be alive. It is no accident, it is no coincidence that you are alive right now. And I just want to take a minute and speak to somebody or even a few people that you might feel very discouraged, even to the point that you wish you could just end your life. The devil is a liar. Do not ever think about ending your life. You did not give yourself life. And please do not end your life. There is always hope in God. When the hope ceases is when your life ends. And if you died without Jesus, that's it. You have no hope. But in Christ Jesus, there is always hope. I don't care how bleak, how dark, how black things look, how discouraging it might seem, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. I love the name of this show that Sister Montel has given it, Reaching Out Radio. Why? Because the Spirit of God is always reaching out to rescue you. And we're here by the grace of God as his people to reach out to you with love, with the love of Jesus, and to encourage you and to strengthen you and to speak faith to you that as long as you have breath coming through your nostrils, you have hope in God. There's always hope in God. There's hope in God. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my very youth. I want to take a little time just to read to you about a wonderful chapter in the Word of God. It's a great chapter. It's what we call the faith chapter. But this faith chapter, the only reason that, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So these things were things that people in the Word of God hoped for. They believed God for, and that was their faith being exercised. So I could also say that when we have hope in God, we exercise faith in what we're believing God 4. I want to read to you because it's so rich. It's so encouraging. And it reads like this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance or substance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things that we hope for. And for it, men of old gained approval. Approval of who? Approval of God. God approved these men of old because they put their hope and confidence in God. If you really want to receive God's approval, I can tell you how. Exercise your faith in God by hoping and believing in Him. Now, by faith, we understand that the whole worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made of out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. What does righteous mean? Righteous means to be in a right standing relationship with God. You know, sometimes when you hear somebody say, well, he and I are not speaking now, or we're not speaking now, we're not on speaking terms, that simply means that they're not in a right relationship with that individual. And so you and I, as children of God, we don't want to ever have that be said of us. We want to stay in right relationship with God. And just to give you an aside, the way to do that is to, number one, believe God. No matter what is going on, no matter what you're being faced with, no matter what the test, believe God and always repent quick of any sin that you're aware of in your life. And always remain forgiving to others. Okay, so that was just a quick little going aside just to let you know. Because you always want to be in right relationship with God. So God was testifying about His gifts. The gift that Abel gave rather than the gift that Cain gave. And that's another whole story. We don't have the time to go there. But God honored Abel's gift. And He said that He was pleased with it. And God testified about His gifts. And though that He is dead, His gifts still speak to us. We still talk about Abel and the fact that he gave God a gift that God accepted and God respected and God honored. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Enoch was a man that lived of old. He's recorded in the Old Testament. And he never saw death. He never saw death because God was so pleased with his life and he was called a friend of God that God just took him up. Just alive, He just took him up. He kidnapped him. But see, God can kidnap because God is the creator. So God can take what he's made. And that's fine. That's not a crime. That's great. What a wonderful way to go to be with the Lord. For God to be so pleased with you that you just are taken up. But what made Enoch so pleasing to God? Enoch lived a life of hope and trust in God. And I believe that's why God just took him up. God found something special in Enoch. He obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now, without faith, without exercising hope in God, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In the King James Version, it says, those that diligently seek him, those that earnestly seek him, those that just don't look just in a very light way, but deeply seek him. Praise God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's God, and that he is a rewarder of those individuals who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. If you remember that story about Noah in the Bible, Noah was a man that was laughed at. Oh my goodness, can you imagine his neighbors? They had all kinds of jokes about Noah, about how he must have been a madman and how he was, you know, going to all the trouble about building this ark and getting all the lumber. And then eventually, after he made the ark, getting every animal on the face of the earth would go in two by two, two of each kind. He was the laughingstock of his community. I can guarantee that. However, Noah hoped in God. And again, like I said last Sunday night, his hope was not like when you're a particular fan of a sports team, like if you like baseball and you like the Yankees and you hope that they're going to win. The hope I'm talking about tonight is totally, completely different. We're talking about putting your confidence in the God who made the universe, not putting your confidence solely in some sports team. Because we know, if we're going to be realistic, if we're going to keep it real, that even our best teams, they win some and they lose some. We're very happy when they win, and we're disappointed when they lose. However, when we're talking about hope in God, we're talking about a hope that's not going to fail us. So that's how come we said in Psalm 25 and 3 that the person that puts their hope and confidence in God, they're never going to be ashamed. They're not going to be humiliated. It's not going to happen because their hope, here goes the key word, is put in God. And so while the neighbors of Noah were laughing and making him a real, you know, look like he's a fool, when the rain began to pour and the streets began to flood, to the point that now they were swimming, no more walking, because there was no dry ground. Now people are swimming for their very lives. All of a sudden, Noah, he ceased to be a laughingstock in his neighborhood. Now he was the hero. Now he was the one that they sought help from. Now he was hearing the people knocking the walls of the ark. But guess what? It wasn't Noah. It was God himself who locked and closed the ark, that no one that was not already in the ark, besides Noah and his family and his in-laws, his son-in-laws, none of the other people could get in. God brought to fruition the fruit of Noah's hope. And that's what God is going to do for you, child of God. And that's what God is going to do for me. He has done it so many times. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed, and he went out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How do you like that? Think about it just for a minute. God told Abraham to get up from where he was when he was living with his father. Get up. I'm going to take you to a place. And he didn't say, leave the East Coast and go to the West Coast. He didn't say, okay, leave Michigan and go down to Texas. No, he gave no destination. God just said, I want you, get your wife, get your belongings, take your nephew with you, and leave. And when you get to where I want you to have arrived, I let you know. How do you like that? It was a different kind of GPS. It was not like our GPSs that we use in our cars and our vans. It was God's protective, sovereign will that called Abraham out. God's protective sovereignty. That was Abraham's GPS. I just named that myself right there. Do you like it? God's, I could even say providential sovereignty. It's his providential leading. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and when he went out, he did not know where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, and dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Can I stop there for just a second? You and I, as we have hope in this 21st century, we're to live as aliens. We're to live as people that do not belong here. As much as you might like your house, your community, your neighborhood, your city, your state, your country, your continent, you like to travel, you like to see other places, please, I beg you, by the mercies of God, do not live here like if you're a permanent resident. Do not get so comfortable with down here that if things, you know, material things are taken away from you, you're all blown away. If you have faith in God tonight, please live as an alien in these United States of America. And if you're in China, live as an alien there. Even if you were born and bred in China, even if that's, you know, the land of your people, live. If you're a child of God, if you have been blood washed by the Jesus blood that he has shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of your sin and my sin, if you're living in Australia, if you're living in any nation in Africa, if you're living in South America, if you're living in Indonesia, in the Philippines, if you're living in Alaska, if you're living in Hawaii, if you're living in Puerto Rico, if you're living in Florida, in Miami, live as an alien if you are a child of God. No matter how secure and how nicely protected you feel, please. And I'm saying this to you as another daughter of God. I'm saying this to you as a child of God. I'm saying this to you as somebody who's in the Word. Do not live down here like this is the end and this is the final resting place. We are just on a journey. Like my young teenage daughter says, let's not get it twisted. Don't get too satisfied and comfortable down here. Live as Abraham lived. He lived as an alien, even when he was in the land of promise. He still lived like an alien. He was ready to move at any time. Why? Because his ultimate eyes and his faith, he was looking for that city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So in other words, ultimately, Abraham was looking for his heavenly dwelling place. And that's with Jesus in heaven. So our hope should not be shattered when we lose things down here. And God forbid, even if we lose loved ones, if your loved ones are in Christ, they're not lost. They're in his presence. If they were sick, they're no longer sick. They're whole. Amen. The key thing is to reach out. Like the name of this radio program, Reach Out Radio, Reaching Out Radio. You know, the key and the secret is to reach out to your loved ones. Reach out to your neighbors. Reach out to those individuals that God would allow to cross your path with the love of Jesus and let them know that God has a better plan for their lives, that they can have tremendous hope. They don't have to take their lives because this is not their final dwelling place. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. She considered him faithful who had promised. She placed her hope in God after she finally understood that this was not a joke, it was not a laughing matter, that when God says something, he means what he says. Therefore, there was born even of one man and him as good as dead, and that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. God gave his servant Abraham another one he called a friend of God. Wow, that is tremendous to be living with such faith and hope in God that he calls you his friend. Well, God called Abraham his friend. And Abraham was about 100 years old when he conceived, when he gave seed to his probably 90-year-old, totally out of season for childbearing wife, Sarah. But the Bible says that because God said she was going to give birth to the promised child, God is not a man that he can lie. She gave birth in her 90s. Can you believe it? I do believe it because I've seen God work already. He's a God of the impossible. But these were people that they hoped in God. And God did not disappoint them. God did not fail them. Whenever you see a Jewish person, that's Abraham's seed right there. And I've got news for you, even though I'm Gentile and I'm not Jewish. But I can also lay claim to being an heir of Abraham because I put my faith in the same God that Abraham placed his faith in. Now, all these people, Abraham and Sarah and Abel and Noah, they died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And that's the same confession that you and I should make. We're just strangers. We're just pilgrims. We're just exiles on the earth. Do not get too comfortable. I love being patriotic. I love to put the flag up, the American flag up, even though now, you know, there's a lot of things I'm not proud of my nation. Because any nation that would turn their back on God, that's something to be ashamed of, not proud of. That's for sure. But I got news for you. As much as I love my nation is not my God. The country that I seek and my ultimate hope is not in the nation of my birth, that I was born in the United States of America. As much as I love this nation, my eyes and my hope and my confidence is not in my country. My confidence is in God. And the Bible says in verse 15 of Hebrews 11, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. Wow, that's deep. Now, we can talk about Abraham having faith in God, but here's how we're going to use hope. When Abraham heard from God that he was to offer up his only son from Sarah, the promised child, Isaac, why could he do that so without a hitch? Because there's nowhere in Scripture that we see that Abraham was complaining to God about God asking him to offer up Isaac. If you read your scriptures, you'll never see that it said Abraham complained. He didn't. It's like God told Abraham, tonight, I want you to go down tomorrow and offer up Isaac. And Abraham did that without missing a beat. He automatically did it. And not only did he go and was willing to do it, he was worshiping God. Can you imagine that? But I believe the reason that Abraham, this is just my, I believe that, and I believe if you check in scripture, my belief is founded in the word. I believe that Abraham was able to do that. Yes, he had tremendous faith in God, but he had tremendous hope in God. He knew that God was trustworthy, that if God would ask him to give up his only begotten son from Sarah, his wife, he knew that his God would not fail him. He knew the promise of God, that I was going to bless, I will bless your seed and your seed's seed. So I believe with all my heart that Abraham was able to give up Isaac and willing to give up Isaac because he hoped in God. And you and I that know that story, the story goes like this. Just when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac before the Lord, he heard a ram that was caught in the thicket. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, don't lay a hand on the boy. I prepared a sacrifice for you. And that Abraham was so happy he could go and now sacrifice that ram instead of sacrificing his son. God honored Abraham's hope and confidence in him. Isn't that tremendous? That's the kind of God we serve. The God that says, if you place your hope and confidence in me, you will not be ashamed. You will never be ashamed. And God is not ashamed of the people that call him their God. Wow. That's hope in God, saints. Let's keep our hope and our confidence in God. I believe that Joseph had tremendous hope in God. Why? Because even though he was forsaken and pretty much left for dead by his own brethren and sold into Egypt, found himself in the prison, even with all of that, he hoped and trusted in his God. And we know from the Word of God that God honored Joseph's faith, and God took Joseph up out of prison and put him to be the head person in command right under Pharaoh. Aside from Pharaoh, Joseph was the number one man in all of Egypt. Nobody from any nation could get food without Joseph's permission. That's the kind of God that we serve in. That's the God that we serve in. The God that never fails. The God that does not disappoint. The God does not let down. The God does not take vacations. The God that does not go to sleep. The God that does not get mixed up. The God does not lose things. The God that the only thing that he chooses is to forget. And not because there's anything wrong with his capacity to remember. The only thing that God chooses to forget is our repented sin. When we repent of our sin in earnest before God, the Word of God says that he cast those sins into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Our God is an awesome God. He's an excellent God. He's a great God. He's a big God. He's a strong God. He's a miracle-working God. And they that place their trust and confidence in him will never be disappointed. I've been serving the Lord now, wow, for how many decades? At least 5 decades. And God has never once failed me, not even half of a one time, none. never, ever. I can say this, it's the truth. He's never failed me. And I know if I gave this microphone to all of you that follow him, he would say the exact same thing. God has never failed us. He's a wonderful God. We can continue to trust him. He will not disappoint. Well, there's so many other wonderful stories in Hebrews chapter 11 and throughout the Word of God. But I just want to say that faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to encourage you. Hope for great things in this 21st century. Hope for big things because God is a big God. Let your hope just soar, beloved. In 2015, if God should spare our lives to see the next year, 2016, let hope arise. Let hope arise in you, because God is great. He is awesome. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. God is awesome. He's the only one that I call awesome. I want to say this in closing from Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And we can have tremendous hope in God. I said I was going to read one more, but I want to read still one more. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Beloved, rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have tremendous help. And he allows our hope to arise. And I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. So let your hope arise. Be blessed. If you would like me to pray with you, I'm going to remain on the line. If you have something that you can share, or you even want prayer in private, after we shut down the line, if we have an opportunity, I'd be happy to pray with you. Or even you can just let it be known by calling the number, and I'm sure that Evangelist Montel will be happy. The number is 347-308-8837. You can call that number to ask for prayer or to ask a question about hope. Or maybe you have, after we've asked the questions and given those people a chance first, maybe you have a comment or something inspiring to say for just a moment. We would love to have you join us. So right now, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about hope. It's so important in these days that are trying. It's so important that we keep our hope and our confidence up in God. He is trustworthy. He is one that you can place complete hope in. He will not fail you. So thank you for this opportunity. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. I pray that you'll continue to grow in your faith, in your confidence in our God. I'm going to turn over the mic to Evangelist Montel Fields, thanking her because this is her radio program, Reaching Out Radio. Thank you, Evangelist Montel, for giving me this privilege of breaking the bread of life and sharing the word of God with the listeners tonight. You're such a blessing. We love and appreciate you, Evangelist. God bless you.
Thank you so much. And I was so blessed by your words tonight and the message that God has had on my heart lately, and so many need to hear what you're sharing tonight, because so many are lost and discouraged and feel there's no hope. But praise God, we do have hope in Him. I'm just so blessed by your word tonight. And it is a privilege to have you share on Reaching Out Radio. And I thank God that He brought you and your beautiful ladies in to be a part of what God has called me to.
Thank you. It's our privilege, certainly mine. It's such a blessing. I enjoy doing the programs, and I'm looking forward to our continual collaboration as we come close to the coming of Christ.
God, and if anyone has a comment or anything they want to please call the number that Sister Pearl shared, the 347-308-8837, and press 1. When you press 1, that lets me know that you are wanting your call to be seen and you have a question or comment. So I will wait, and we will see if anyone presses 1. I know we do have some callers, and I just will wait and see if we have some callers that would like to share with us tonight.
Amen. Praise
and
God.
Tomorrow what? Night, go ahead, Sister Pearl. I apologize.
No, please, you go ahead, Evangelist.
Well, I was just going to say tomorrow night, first I wanted to apologize because we had a lot of listeners the other night that was wanting to hear your message, what you was talking about with what just happened in the Supreme Court with gay marriage. And we was 20 minutes in broadcast in the studio. My studio just crashed. And not long after that, my laptop did. I know it was an attack of the enemy, but we're pushing forth, and God. Tomorrow night, I want to invite everybody to join us, and I'm going to be sharing. She's going to be back tomorrow night to share this much-needed word. It started out so beautiful and powerful, and I am trusting God that this word is going to go forth. It's going to be in His timing, and it's going to reach people. So please join us tomorrow night as Sister Pearl comes back to share with us the powerful message she led in the other night. And I do apologize again. It was technical difficulties that was not in my hands, but there's been updates to the studio. But praise be to God, we're getting more clarity and better sound, but sometimes those things happen. But we're just here. We're going to keep on keeping and trusting God for the word to go forth.
Praise God. Well, I tell you what, Evangelist Montel, in the minute that we're waiting for somebody to hit that number 1 button, just to give a plug for tomorrow night's show, we will be talking, as our sister said, on the LGBTQ agenda. And I want to make it very clear, we're not against homosexuals as people, but we know that God loves all of the people that He created. However, there is an agenda that some people that are bound in this lifestyle have. Not everybody who is in that sin is really an activist. So tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the LGBT activist agenda. They do have a plan, and they want to work their plan. And we want to expose that. We want to talk about that. And we want to talk about how we got there. Then, Lord willing, on the 31st, which will be the last Friday night of this month, Lord willing, we would like to do part 2 of this same topic. That's a show that God has blessed me with through the Evangelist. It's called Kingdom Perspectives in Our Changing World. And this whole show that the Lord gave me an idea for this is that in our world that's constantly changing, what should the child of God, how should our response be? What should we answer? What do we say? How should we believe? Well, obviously, we should believe whatever Jesus says. And so we're calling it Kingdom Perspectives in Our Changing World. And so on the 31st, we're going to be talking about the LGBT agenda, specifically how it adversely affects children. So tomorrow night, talking about the agenda and how we got here, and then on the 31st, Lord willing, the agenda and how it affects the children, which is so key, because it really is attacking the children. Thank you, my sister, for allowing me to say that.
Oh, no, your time, as I tell all the beautiful people that I have the privilege to work with on here, but it's your time and it's your ministry. We're all working together for the same cause, and it's truly a blessing to have you. And I was going to ask you, it might be one of the precious sisters you work with, a 718 area code, because
yeah, that's Sister Myrna.
Would you like me to open her mic up?
Sure, if she would like to.
Okay, I'll open her mic up because she's been with
sure,
us.
Sure, we would welcome her.
All right, her mic is now open.
Hello?
Hi, Myrna, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line, but I was just listening.
Okay.
But,
oh, that's okay.
It was a great, great, great show, very encouraging.
Praise God.
And I've been blessed listening. So.
To God be the glory. Well, we're looking forward to you joining us. I know you can't do so tomorrow night, but we're really looking forward to have you join Viviana and myself on the 31st if possible.
I am absolutely ready for that, yes.
Great, great.
And I'm
wonderful.
You know, we had the technical difficulties, but whenever you're talking about the things that the Lord wants you to talk about, we're gonna get warfare, and that's just that's okay. That doesn't stop the message because we'll do it again.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening for this full hour. I appreciate that. It's very encouraging.
Okay. Bless.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Amen. You know, maybe I can say something while we're waiting for another moment or two. A lot of times, people look at God maybe the way that they look at their parents, and they identify with God the way they identified with a father who failed them or a mother who failed them. This is a tragic mistake that a lot of people do. I just want to say very clearly that God is like no other father you've ever had. And while it is understandable that many of us, you know, we relate to God in some measure how we relate to our earthly father, I would want to encourage you not to do that. And it is a real test. It's a real struggle for some people. But the more you get into the Word of God, the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you understand who He is and how very different He is from an earthly father, if that earthly father was not there for you or often failed you, the more you're going to be able to make the difference and understand, okay, that was an experience I had with my earthly dad. That has nothing to do with my heavenly and eternal father. And so, because we know, this is why it's so important for fathers to be totally committed to God. Because you really cannot father properly unless you're under God's lordship, unless you are connected to God. And you really can't even be the best mother unless you're really connected to God. Because, you know, those of us that are already Christians and we love God, we fail our children. So how much more parents who really don't turn to God, they don't have the blessings that we do, that know the Lord and follow the Lord and want to be pleasing to God. They're out there on their own. And it makes an impact, because then later on when these children grow up, they have a real hard time grasping that there is a Heavenly Father who loves me. And that interferes with their idea of God, their concept of God. It interferes with them having a real, viable hope in God, because their whole understanding is awry. It's skewed. It's not correct. But again, even if you never, ever even knew who your earthly father was, you never met him. Or if you were an orphan and you were adopted, so you never met your biological father, your biological mother, I want to say to you tonight that you have a father that loves you, that is willing to move the position of the sun and the stars and the sky and the moon. He's willing to do anything necessary to show himself real to you, because that's how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he actually went on the cross and gave his life, even though he knew no sin. He never sinned. Jesus never sin. Even though he was fully man, he was also fully God. He never gave in to the temptations. He was tempted of the devil. Oh, yes, he was. The Bible says that he was tempted on all things. But he never gave in to any one of those temptations. So he was sinless. And that's why his Father can say that he will accept his blood, that sinless, pure blood, on the behalf of my sin, on the behalf of your sin. He shed his blood, gave his life, took our place. It should have been me on that cross. It should have been you. Why? Because I sinned against God. That's why. You sinned against God. Oh, yes, you have, just as I have. None of us can come in and say that we have not sinned. The Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's how come, you've heard me say in one of the previous broadcasts, after a child learns how to say, mommy, daddy, the very next word that he or she says in any language is no. No. Because that child has his own will, her own will. And they're going to test the waters, and they're going to say, I want my way. No, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. No. And that's how you are. That's how I am with God. No. But when we understand, just even get a little grasp of how much God loves us, then we just begin to melt under his almighty loving hand. Because we realize, we begin, just begin to realize, anytime he tells us not to do something, it's for our benefit. It's not to prevent us from having joy. No. It's always for our good, for our benefit. That's how good and how loving our God is. And that's how come those Supreme Court judges, the 5 out of the 9, made a tragic error and did a very wicked thing. They went against God Almighty. God's design for mankind is the best design. We cannot do better than God. That's impossible. We cannot love more than God loves. That's impossible. We don't even love the way God loves, because he is God and God alone. So I just want to encourage you, if you never knew your own parents or your own father, or if you knew them and they beat you to a pulp, or maybe they raped you, maybe they did horrific things against you, and maybe you'll forever bear that physical scar or that emotional scar, I want to let you know again, there is a God, and I feel his presence right now. There's a wonderful God who loves you. And yes, I don't care how bleak it looks, there is tremendous hope in him. Please run into his arms that are stretched wide open for you right now. Just run there, run there, run there. Even if you are in a position that you feel all hope is gone, I'm telling you, I believe God sent me to tell you that there is always hope in Jesus. There's still chance. There's still wonderful opportunities for you. But you must turn to Jesus, because he's your only hope. He's my only hope. May the Lord just bless you. But I feel that he led me to say that for somebody. Maybe you didn't know the love of an earthly father, because they didn't even experience love themselves. And often when people have not experienced love, not all the time, but sometimes they also don't know how to give love. And they don't know how to be loving. And perhaps that's why they never loved you. But that's not our Father God. He's so different. He's God. That was just mere man. God is great. God is good. And that's putting it very mildly. God is awesome. And there's no one that can be compared to him. And this great God loves you. You're the very apple of his eye. He sees you just where you are right now. And if you're thinking, oh, but Pearl, you don't know. I've sinned so badly, and I've been so far. I mean, you cannot even understand. Well, you're right. Maybe I can't. But God certainly can. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care how disgusting that sin is. God's love is greater than the depth of your sin. And His blood is powerful to wash you from any filth that you've done. And He loves you so much. And He wants you to come to Him. He's not going to force you. He's waiting for you to come. His arms are stretched wide open for you to come to Him. Just let Him know that you want Him. And that's it. And that will be the best decision you ever make. This side of glory, that's the number one. You decide for Christ, and that's the best decision in this world. You'll never regret it as long as you live. I guarantee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sister Montel, has anybody put their line open to ask a question or to receive prayer or to make a comment?
No, there's live listeners, and we have had some callers, but no one's pushed one that they want to come into the studio to be put in a QA.
Okay. Well, if it's okay by you, then we can just pray, and we can just close out this show and give you an opportunity to just rest a little bit. How's that?
That sounds great, dear sister. God bless you, and I am looking forward to tomorrow night's program.
Amen. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, the name that's above every other name, you know all the people that are listening to this program and the ones that will listen on demand. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you do not cease being God. Thank you because you said, there is no other God but me. I know not of one. You said in Isaiah 44 that you're the first and you're the last. Revelation says that you're the beginning and you're the ending. You're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're everything that we need. God, you're the great I am. Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? He said, tell them, I am sent you. And then in the New Testament, you said to us that you are the I am. Jesus is the I am. And so when we're in darkness, you're the light. When we're hungry, you're the bread. Oh, God. You're everything that we need. We can go on and on and on. But Lord, just thank you that we can have tremendous hope. Thank you for your word in 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to your abundant mercy, you have begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son from the dead. Thank you, God, that you have brought us to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Thank you, God, that it's reserved in heaven for us. And thank you, God, that you keep us and we don't keep ourselves. You keep us by your power as we have faith in you for salvation that is ready to be revealed in that last time. I thank you, God, for that individual that was just feeling that they were at the end of their rope, but somehow, by your Holy Spirit and through your word, you've spoken to them tonight, and you've lifted them up, and they realize, God, that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and they're going to live different. And when they wake up tomorrow in Jesus' name, they're going to wake up in hope. They're going to wake up in peace. When they put their heads on the pillow tonight, they're going to sleep in peace, even if they've never had a good night's sleep for the past month. Tonight, I declare, by the power of God, as they would just seek your face before they go to bed, as they kneel at the foot of their bed and they, or the side of their bed, and they pray to you, and then they go and lie down and they go to sleep, I declare that every individual that did not sleep, that had insomnia, we're able to have perfect sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. And the reason is because they have hope and confidence in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that you promised to be with us and never leave us. And that's our hope. And we ask you to seal it in Jesus' name. Bless the people and make my blessing. Bless Evangelist Montel Field and continue to bless her life. Prosper her life, her family, her radio station for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night and have a good night's sleep. In Jesus' name, amen.